This is the Fighting the Good Fight podcast, defending taxpayers and solving their tax problems with your host, Patricia Gentile. Patricia Gentile is a taxpayer defense attorney, CPA, the founder of New England Tax Relief, and Patricia L. Gentile Coaching. With 40 years of IRS expertise and experience, she has successfully defended and resolved difficult IRS situations for hundreds of taxpayers. Patricia coaches tax professionals to confidently identify their client's IRS problem and create a successful resolution plan for them. As a fierce advocate, a creative strategist, and solution finder, fighting the good fight with Patricia Gentile is both her passion and purpose.
Welcome. I'm your host, Patricia Gentile, and this is the Fighting the Good Fight podcast, defending taxpayers and solving their tax problems. I not only represent taxpayers and defend and create a successful resolution plan for them, but I also coach tax professionals to confidently identify their client's IRS problem and create a successful resolution plan for them as well. This is the topic of this podcast today. I have met with, over the past just handful of days, a couple of tax professionals who have asked me to take over their cases, their representation of their clients who were under audits. And the results of the audits are not favorable. And therefore, these tax professionals do not know what to do next, nor do they really want to go any further in this process. And so that's prompted me to discuss this area of audit. And tax professionals know this as, you know, examination as well as audit. Everybody knows what audit means. But the IRS actually sends a notice of examination to the taxpayer stating that a particular tax year or years are under examination. The notice introduces the auditor to you, as to the taxpayer, as the contact person, as the auditor assigned to this examination. And it says other things, but it's tailored to the specific audit and this taxpayer's audit. The one of the cases that I'm now taking over that I spoke with the tax professional about last week was because the way it ended, the determination of the audit, her client chose to pay the balance, the determined balance owed, taxes, interest, and penalties, and it was thousands of dollars. She had stated that because certain pieces of proof were not allowed or even accepted by the auditor, that meaning don't provide me that, I don't want to see that, when I say not accepted by the auditor, or the proof by that was submitted that the auditor disallowed. And as a result, the balance due was hundreds of thousands of dollars, and this tax professional doesn't agree with that determination. However, her client, the taxpayer, chose to pay and just end the audit and get rid of any IRS problem. She reached out to me stating that she really was concerned that she may have made a mistake in how she represented him in the audit, that the determination would turn out to be what it did, of which he did not choose to appeal, and instead he paid. So I went through it with her. We followed the paper trail, starting with not the paper trail necessarily in the audit, because you start with the notice of examination. And what is the IRS auditing specifically on that return? And what is the taxpayer's burden of proof? Because when you are being audited, the taxpayer has the burden of proof. So to provide supporting documentation on any claim that is being made on the return. And in the end, after we walk through, starting from what were the areas or the issues that the IRS was auditing and questioning, and what was the proof that was provided by the taxpayer and herself, then the determination comes next. And that is the report from the auditor. It's a report of income tax examination changes. And then it goes right down to a bottom line. They note all the adjustments, pros and cons, ones they accepted and changed from the taxpayer's information, additional proof, ones that they didn't. Sometimes they find more that they want to add. And you come to that bottom line of a proposed tax, and then the interest and the penalties. At that point, the taxpayer has more than one option about how to handle this report. And a couple of issues that sparked up for me in speaking with this enrolled agent, this tax professional, was, number one, the option for the taxpayer to appeal this determination. This was a proposal, and this form, it's a form 4549. The taxpayer doesn't have to agree with it. They don't have to pay these proposed amounts, even if they do agree with it. It's not a bill. And they'll have an opportunity of a short window, usually no more than 30 days, to provide any more additional information or discuss with the auditor and or the auditor's manager what they're disputing, and point out the proof and discuss, you know, why it's being determined the way it is. This tax professional did not understand how to use this form 4549, report of income tax and examination changes, to try and dispute these items, exercise her client's rights, the taxpayer's rights. And please remember, the IRS publishes the taxpayer's bill of rights, 10 taxpayers' bill of rights on the IRS's website. And there are rights that you want to make sure you're always in mindful of when you are helping a client or you're a taxpayer who is trying to resolve a tax problem. And therefore, when at that point with that report, she did nothing. She didn't propose anything to her client, because she thought that this was it. She thought that this report was, that's it. There's no option to dispute, to possibly have some more changes, or to even ignore this and not do anything. Because the other aspect of this form is that if the auditor doesn't hear from you, either that you agree, either that you disagree, etc., they have to, by law, and it's noted in the auditor's cover letter to this report, send a notice of deficiency, which that notice reiterates this tax examination changes as form 4549, and the taxpayer now has the right to petition the United States Tax Court and raise these issues and dispute them with IRS counsel. And I can tell you that by filing a United States Tax Court petition stops the assessment noted of taxes, interest, and penalties on this form 4549 from becoming an official assessment, and IRS collections will start trying to collect from the taxpayer on these amounts. So please note that the form 4549 report of income tax examination changes received from an auditor to the taxpayer gives you a lot of opportunity, including doing absolutely nothing and waiting for the notice of deficiency to be sent to the taxpayer and exercising their right to petition U.S. tax court simply for a couple of purposes, which is to stop this report of changes becoming an official assessment, and now collections is involved trying to collect this amount. And secondly, this won't go to trial. Just because you have petitioned the United States Tax Court and you do get a docketed case, this type of dispute will be remanded to IRS appeals officer. There are IRS appeals officers that their duties and responsibilities is to handle the remanded U.S. tax court petition cases. And so this is how you're able to appeal this dispute as well. The other tax professional I met with was just yesterday, and he has asked me to take over on a case, an audit case that he was involved in and representing one of his clients. And this was the craziest thing, because in all my decades of doing this work, I hadn't come across this particular scenario. And that was the office, the IRS office of which this audit was assigned, sounded like it was under management change. Specifically, the audit manager had been fired. And at the same time, this is going on with the audit manager. The auditor is pushing the CPA to close this case and stop providing more information to conduct the audit with, to stop having the taxpayer provide more proof of claims made on the return that's being audited, 2 years of tax returns. He kept saying to the CPA, I have to close this case. I'm being pressured to close this case. A couple of things that, and so now actually what's happening is that this auditor closed the case, issued the form 4549 that I've just mentioned previously, the report of income tax examination changes, and has assessed hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the CPA didn't understand the IRS agent once he issued that. And here we are again. You can, if you ignore the notice, don't do anything with it, the taxpayer will receive a notice of deficiency. However, no notice showed up. When I met with him yesterday, I said, well, where's the notice of deficiency? And he said, well, it's right here. And I said, no, that was the letter of the examination report that they were proposing. So he found the notice of deficiency. It was issued by what is called a technical services regional manager, which I wasn't aware that they get involved. But it's apparent to me, my best guess really, is that what has happened here is this audit needed to be closed because the statute of limitations on examinations is 3 years from the date of filing for each one of these tax years. The statute of limitations for at least one of those tax years was coming up to expire, and they wouldn't be able to conduct any more of the audit, and they would have to stop the audit. Secondly, with the manager, audit manager being fired, there is no acting manager. They're searching for a manager to come in, and the territory manager has to step in as an acting manager and realize there were, for example, this case, the notice of deficiency hadn't even gone out to the taxpayer. So now I'll be filing that case with the United States Tax Court to stop these assessments from becoming official and collections now getting involved to collect and to dispute these issues and present information that wasn't even presented to the auditor because he no longer wanted to do any more of the audit. He was taking no more information. He was very specific in telling the CPA that. And now we'll be able to do this and exercise the taxpayers' rights. And one of the taxpayers' Bill of Rights is that you have the right not to pay any more tax than you're supposed to. And you have the right to representation, and you have the right to dispute and appeal a determination. And so that's three different rights under the 10 Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, and we're exercising them all. My point is understanding the notices, understanding IRS notices. Whether you're a tax professional who wants to help clients with their IRS problem, or you're a taxpayer with tax problems, you need to understand, read thoroughly, and be able to understand the notices that are coming and the rights of the taxpayer that they need to be able to exercise to resolve their tax problem. And like I said in the beginning, I'm a coach to tax professionals so that they can confidently identify their client's IRS problem and create the successful resolution plan for them. And these are two tax professionals that I've just met with in the past handful of days, who, when the audit got to a certain stage, and once again, the stage here in both these happens to be where the auditor has made the determination, completed that determination on a form 4549, has presented it to the tax professional and the taxpayer, and everybody's stopped. The taxpayer looks to the professional and says, what do I do? And I can't pay that, or I will just pay it and make it go away, or whatever. And the tax professional says, I don't know what to do. They think case closed and there's nothing more that can be done. And that's not the case, as I've explained to you. The other option that was available to the first tax professional whose client turned around and decided to pay the determination amounts, walk away, she can actually amend her client's tax returns that were audited. Why? Because she's still, the taxpayer's returns are still within the 3-year statute of limitations for amending a return. The same 3-year statute of limitations that the IRS is governed by in conducting examinations is the same 3-year statute of limitations that a taxpayer is governed by in submitting an amended return. And so the taxpayer, the tax professional can actually go ahead and submit an amended form 1040X on behalf of the taxpayer based on information that new information that she was able to collect from her client during the audit and new information that came out and changes that they agreed with, but changes that they totally disagreed with. And now it's possible, she's saying, that the taxpayer will get a refund of all that money paid. It's really important that if you are helping clients resolve their tax problems, or you're a taxpayer with a tax problem, that you really need to understand the notices that you're receiving and know what the taxpayer's options are to resolve and what their rights are to resolve. So thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you have any questions or concerns, or you'd like a free initial consultation, whether you're a tax professional or a taxpayer, please contact me at 1-800-880-8388 or go to my websites, newenglandtaxrelief.com or patricialgentilecoaching.com, and let's talk. Have a great day.